So as we get into this final stretch of the Christmas season, you can really feel it in the air. There's this mix of, you know, frantic energy and also this really deep longing.
It's true. It's supposed to be a time of celebration, but so often that gets drowned out by just the noise, the chaos.
And that search for something stable, for a real anchor of truth. It feels more urgent than ever.
It does. We hear all the songs about joy and peace, but then we feel the strain of just, well, reality.
And that universal struggle is exactly why we're here today. We're going to be looking at the message Brother Bob gave this past Sunday night.
A really profound one.
It was. It was titled, Praising Puppets, No God, No Peace, No God, No Peace. And our goal here is to really pull out those truths we need to, you know, move forward as believers in a world that feels like it's getting darker.
The whole setup for the message was just wonderful, wasn't it?
It really was.
It started with that solemn prophecy from Isaiah, you know, setting the stage for the Messiah, but then the children's praise puppets.
I know. Who would thought puppets could provide so much theological depth?
Exactly. But they framed the entire dilemma perfectly.
They really did. And the whole service, from the prophecy to the puppets, it all boiled down to the one question he put to all of us.
Do you have peace?
That's the one. It forces you to look past the temporary stuff and ask what real divine peace actually is.
Let's start with that tension they built right there in the service.
Okay, so even the announcements at the beginning, I thought they were like a perfect little picture of the whole struggle.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about Christmas Eve, service logistics, the kids' schedule changing, and even this plea to pick up your Christmas cards because, you know, it'll be spring before you know it.
Right. Life just moves so fast, even inside the church walls.
It does. And that feeling of being perpetually behind, that's exactly what the puppet show captured.
Oh, absolutely. The characters, Josie and the other shepherd, they're talking about the coming Prince of Peace, but what's the first thing they say?
I don't feel much peace.
Exactly. It's that disconnect between the promise you know and the reality you're living.
And their reality was just stress. Pure stress.
It was. They listed it all out. They had the census decree forcing them to travel.
This is a huge disruption.
A huge disruption. And then just the work itself. Tending the sheep, feeding them, protecting them from predators, staying up all night on watch.
It's the ancient version of working two jobs and dealing with bureaucracy and never being able to turn your brain off.
That's it. And Brother Bob connected that directly to us, you know, with our holiday stress, our finances, the pressure to buy the right gifts. Peace can start to feel
hopeless, impossible.
Even when you know the Messiah is coming, the one called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace.
So that's the tension, knowing the truth, but experiencing the struggle. And that's where Brother Bob laid down his foundational definition.
And this is so critical. He said, peace is not the absence of conflict or problems.
Which immediately challenges how we think. We think peace means getting rid of all the hard stuff.
Right. The world says peace is conditional. But Brother Bob says true peace is the presence of God.
That just flips the whole script.
It does, because it means the focus shifts from my external circumstances to my internal relationship with him. I can be in the middle of a hurricane, but if God is present, I can have peace.
Okay, so if peace is the presence of God, then what's the barrier? What keeps us from that presence?
And the answer is always the same, isn't it? It's sin.
Always. He went right to Romans 3.23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
And that image from Isaiah 64, that all our goodness, our best efforts are like filthy rags in his sight.
Oof, that one always hits hard.
Yeah.
You can't earn your way into his presence.
You can't. And Isaiah 59 says it so clearly. Your iniquities have separated you from God. That separation is the root of our lack of peace. And if it isn't dealt with, it becomes an eternal separation.
So peace with God is impossible on our own.
Right, until the radical intervention.
The Prince of Peace himself. Which brings us to Romans 5.1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
And we have to be clear about that word, justified. It doesn't just mean forgiven. It means we are declared righteous.
A legal standing.
Exactly. A legal standing before God. Not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. That act removes the barrier. It restores the relationship.
And that is how we get peace with God. That's the starting line.
That's the starting line. But then he moved on to, well, how do you live in that peace day to day? How do you maintain it?
This is where he brought in Proverbs chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. He shifted from salvation to sanctification, how we live it out. And the passage gives these instructions for a life of peace.
Don't forget my teaching. keep my commandments.
Write kindness and truth on the tablet of your heart. It's about being intentional.
But the central command, the one that is so hard for us, especially today, is verses 5 and 6.
The ultimate challenge. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
And that second part, lean not on your own understanding. In our world, our own understanding is all we're told to trust.
It's a religion. Data, logic, self-reliance. We think we can figure it all out, control the outcome.
And Brother Bob's personal story about this was so powerful.
It really was. He talked about his New England upbringing, that whole pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality.
Fierce independence.
The exact opposite of total trust. He said he's been wrestling with God over that for 63 years.
63 years. When you hear that, you realize this isn't some easy switch to flip. It's a lifelong battle to go from I can do it to I can't do anything apart from him.
And that's what steals our peace. We hold on to anxiety because we're still trying to control everything with our own limited reasoning.
Right.
But the passage says that turning away from that, fearing the Lord, is what brings healing to your body and refreshment to your bones.
It's the peace that comes from surrender. You trade the exhaustion of trying to run everything for the refreshment of trusting him.
That's the key. Knowing God doesn't mean the storm goes away. It means you have an anchor that holds in the storm.
Which leads right into the heart of his closing. The part about the true gift.
Mm.
His analogy was so sweet and relatable. Talking about shopping for his 16 grandkids and 18 great-grandkids.
The matching pajamas for the Santa picture at the mall.
Yes. You could just picture the wonderful chaos.
And he used that image of earthly love to contrast it with the true gift, the gift of eternal life.
A gift with no strings attached.
None. You can't buy it. You can't earn it.
Which is why he went to Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast.
That gift settles the eternal question. It gives us permanent access to the peace of God.
And that's the foundation that holds up when life gets truly dark.
Absolutely. His testimony about grieving his wife, that was so moving. He said the third anniversary is coming up in January.
And yet he spoke with such peace.
Because he's not leaning on feelings or platitudes. He's leaning on scripture.
When your world falls apart, promises are all you have.
He mentioned Romans 8.28, that God works all things together for good, and Jeremiah 29.11, the plans for a future and a hope.
Those aren't promises that the pain will disappear. They're promises that God is sovereign in the pain.
And that knowledge, that trust, is the only source of genuine peace in real suffering.
So it all comes back to those two steps Brother Bob laid out.
It does. First, you have to know Jesus as Savior to have peace with God.
Step one, remove the barrier of sin.
And second, you have to stop leaning on your own reasoning to have the peace of God.
It's an invitation to just let go,
To
stop trusting our own limited logic and hand the reins over completely.
It is. And the peace that comes from that is what Jesus promised. In John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.
And he adds that critical line.
Not as the world gives, do I give it to you.
The world's peace depends on calm circumstances. His peace is present regardless of the circumstances.
A temporary relief versus an eternal presence.
Let's just end with the shepherds one last time. They started in chaos and fear, worrying about their sheep, the senses. But after they saw Jesus, the source of that peace, the Bible says they had to make known what the angel told them.
They couldn't keep it in. Their discovery led directly to proclamation.
So we want to leave you with a thought, building on Brother Bob's challenge. What is one specific area, one struggle in your life right now?
Could be anything. A financial decision, a broken relationship, something at work.
What is that one thing where you are consciously leaning on your own understanding to fix it? Where you're trying to control the outcome? And what would it look like just this week to surrender that one thing to the Prince of Peace? To choose trust over your own logic and just see how that single act changes your experience of his peace.